it all ties material here too. You are the holder of commercial pilot certificate number 12345, and then the second sentence will give the date of the incident on or about, let's say, August 1, 2003. You operated civil aircraft November 123, Piper Cherokee 140 on a flight operating here at Whitman Field in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. And then the next paragraph will say that during the course of your taxiing to the ramp, you struck a vehicle, and then say what you failed to do, failed to follow the instruction of the flagman, of the air marshalers and air traffic control. And then it says, then the last paragraph on the allegations would state, as a result, you violated the following sections or the following federal air regulations. It will cite the air regulations, and then it'll propose to suspend your pilot certificate, generally anywhere from 30 days to, most of them are 30 to 180 days, depending upon where it falls in under the sanction guidelines for the FAA and the severity of the allegations. Most of them come in about 90 days. And now, when you receive this, the important thing underlined is you've got 15 days to respond. And this response time is 15 days from the date that it is dated. You've got to look at the top at the date, make sure you get your 15 days, because if you miss that 15 days, you may be absolutely out of luck on being able to respond and be able to assert your defenses. So that's very, very important. All right, now, when you receive this document, the notice of proposed certificate action, is going to give you some options. Going to give you five options, and you're going to need to read your five options first and decide which one you're going to take. And I'll tell you, the one we're going to recommend is elect the informal conference. But the first option is going to say surrender your certificate. Well, that's not a very good option at that point. The second option will say just go ahead and request that an order be issued suspending your pilot certificate so you can appeal it to the NTSB. Well, that's not a very good option either, because there's no more discussion. You give up your pilot certificate at that point. Or you can go ahead and answer the charges in writing and go ahead and request a hearing, which that is an option, but it's not your best option. The best option is option number four, is to request to discuss it at an informal conference. And so normally what we do, we mail a letter and request an informal conference. Up to this point, they've been done by telephone. Now the FAA is going back to the old way we used to do it, where they will send the FAA attorney and the local inspector, who is the safety inspector in charge of the action, the one who is the primary witness, the one who did, the inspector who did most of the investigation. They will come to your, should come to your local FISDO or somewhere within your community, or the, and so you can sit down and discuss this with them. And this is just an outstanding time to discuss it. You can see what the, it's primarily upon the pilot to present what, you know, all the mitigating reasons as to what happened. That's where you can tell your story. Again, you've got to tell the truth and try to get it mitigated, try to get the sanction lowered, sanction lessened, or even have it thrown out. Having it thrown out is pretty remote, but it certainly is a great opportunity to resolve it. You get to see the FAA attorney face-to-face. You get to see the inspector face-to-face. And most of them, in my case, 90% of them at that point, I don't know, y'all may have different experience, you resolve them at the informal conference. What percent would you say you're resolving at informal conference?
Depends on how if the informal conference is held in person.
In person,
then I would say you've almost got a 55-45 chance of settling it.
Yes, you do.
But the way that you've got to tell your client what the options are and what the possibilities are, so that they're prepared for it. But I think you've got a better chance, John, don't you? John, how about you? You got a better chance once you have the informal conference?
In my experience, because before the FAA went to telephonic informals, they were face-to-face, and I would say maybe 75% of the cases were resolved mm-hmm. in those informal conferences. An opportunity for interchange, resolution. Everything was pretty amicable. When we went to the telephonic situation, you never had that informal exchange. And so I would say maybe less than 50% of the cases are settled at that stage. Although I think we should get a more informed estimate from the FAA, since they sit in on all the informals, and they might give us some guidance on that.
I actually, and you guys know this too, we very, very seldom try cases. We very much so settle in the informal conference no matter what court it is. So yes, probably there may be a greater percentage in person informal of settling cases, but the vast majority of my cases are settled no matter if it's in person or whether it's offline.
That's
let me add an interesting point. There's an experimental program about to be embarked in the Great Lakes and Southern region. Heretofore, the government now, because of money constraints, just all informal conferences were held by over the telephone unless you travel to the region where the regional council's office was. If your client wants to travel to the region, for example, I live in Kentucky. If I wanted to go to Atlanta, I could have an informal conference there in person. And if you live in the Great Lakes region, then, of course, in Des Plaines, Illinois, is where the FAA is, you had a chance to go up there. But the chief counsel of the FAA, Kerry Long, has talked to us, and I think we're going to see within the not-too-distant future, and probably rather quickly, that they're going to be going back to holding informal conferences at the FISDO, which is an incredible, I will tell you right now, which is an incredible breakthrough, because it means now that the FAA can look at your client and make any judgment he may want to on credibility. He can hear what the client has to say and judge credibility. Over the phone, it's just so impersonal that you just have a hard time making those concessions, but you can do it now. John?
No, I was just going to offer some additional suggestions. Mike, I am not sure at all what you're saying. Mike, of course, is with the FAA. When we had face-to-face informals, it was the usual rule that the lawyer would be there with the investigating inspector, and that facilitated settlement. When we went to the telephonic informal conferences, I would say more likely you would not have the investigating inspector on the telephone, and that was a deterrent to settling the case, because the lawyer and some other FAA inspector might be reluctant to settle, even though the lawyer has the authority to do that, might be reluctant to settle somebody else's case, and that they would want to consult with the investigating inspector. So I'm not at all sure, Mike, about the answer you gave. I am pretty sure that you settled more cases face-to-face than you did telephonically. Let me ask you an embarrassing question. Of all the cases that you have prosecuted, where you have proposed to suspend or revoke a certificate, what percentage have you dropped after the informal conference or at the informal conference?
All right, I've been at this now 19 years. Probably less than 3%.
Yeah, thank you for your candor.
3%. I'll pick up this. Show some more ground over there.
Okay, yeah, that's certainly a good discussion. One important thing I did not mention when you go to the informal conference is that you do at that point have access to the FAA's and what they call the releasable portion of the investigation, which is everything that's significant that relates to your case. So you do have the advantage of seeing what the FAA is going to prove, what they have to prove, and then you can relate that to what your defenses may be, which certainly you're able to evenly weigh what kind of resolution or what kind of settlement should be achieved. Okay, I think we've probably, Alan's ready to pick up on the informal conference discussion. And
Thank you, Pat. I'm going to chime in, and I want to take a step back before we get into the informal conference in a little more detail. Here's the stage that we're at, just to make sure that everybody's keeping pace with what's happened. In the scenario that we've talked about, there was an inadvertent violation. The airman has sent in a NASA report and is hoping that the effect of that will be that if there is a finding of violation, then the sanction is going to be waived. Nonetheless, the investigator has gone through with their investigation. The airman either has or hasn't responded to the investigation. Regardless of that, the investigatory file has now been turned over to the FAA counsel's office, and the counsel's office has issued a notice of proposed suspension. And it says, this is what we think happened, and this is what the sanction is going to be. Now you're responding to that, and you have the options, as Pat talked about, and one of those options is to attend an informal conference. I practice in Chicago. We're in the Great Lakes region, and the Des Plaines office, where the Great Lakes Regional Council's office is located, depending on traffic, is in the ballpark of 15, 20 minutes away from my office. So the concerns that some of my other council members have had of not having a chance to sit with council face-to-face is something that's really a concern that's new to me. My experience has been all along that when we've had these informal conferences, what it is it's an opportunity to sit down in a conference room with the attorney who is prosecuting the case, with the investigator who has brought together what he believes is the evidence against you. And you have the opportunity to see if this is something that can be resolved on terms that are agreeable to you. You can have a full discussion. The investigator is going to go through and describe what he perceived happened, the issues in play, the concerns that they have. Maybe there's some larger policy topics to be discussed. And if there's some facts that you have that you think are going to mitigate or perhaps even negate the charges against you, we can have a freewheeling discussion. I recently represented an airman who was accused of violating the rule on the speed limitations. He's flying a MiG-21. And he was going pretty fast, and this was when he had already departed out of the envelope from an air show. And part of the discussion that we had with the investigator and counsel was that going this fast, which, you know, 250 knots is the applicable limitation, and as we were describing to counsel, is in a MiG-21 cruise is a little above 250. You don't want me to be going below that. And this speed, I think the airman was somewhere in the 400, 450 range, and counsel's position was, well, okay, we can accept the position that maybe it's reasonable for you to be a little over 250, but this was a little too far. And we were having a discussion about, you know, what does it take to be going that fast in this high-powered aircraft? You know, it's not putting the throttle all the way down as you might think if this were a smaller aircraft where you're really pushing it. But counsel's position was, yeah, but you're still not really being mindful of the regulations and the parameters that you're operating in.